John chapter 17, we're studying about the Lord's Prayer, and this is the true Lord's Prayer. The other, when the disciples said, "Teach us to pray," and Jesus said, "Say this, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That, in theological or biblical terms, is called the disciples' prayer. That's Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray. This is the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer the Lord made for himself, verses 1 through 5, on behalf of the apostles and disciples who were alive at the time of Jesus, verses 6 through 19, and then verses 20 to 26 for everybody, for all of us, including us. So it's important to realize that as we're in this section, verses 6 through 19, as we study about the Lord's Prayer on behalf of the apostles and disciples who were alive at the time of Jesus Christ, that by the time we get to verse 20 next week, he's going to say, not only do I pray for these, but also for those who will believe through their word. So that's us. So this prayer directly for them, but Jesus is also going to apply it to us. So it is important that we understand this is the Lord's intercessory prayer for his people. In John chapter 17, we begin our reading at verse 1. These things spoke Jesus and raised up his eyes into heaven, or toward heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, in order that your Son may also glorify you. According as you gave to him authority of all flesh, in order that all which you have given to him, he may give to them life eternal. And this is life eternal, in order that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I glorified you upon the earth. I finished the work which you have given to me in order that I should do. And now glorify me, Father, with yourself." And again, the text literally is alongside of yourself. That is, in the same position I had with you before I came. "Glorify me alongside of yourself with the glory which I had with you," again alongside of you, "before the world existed. I manifested your name to the men whom you have given to me from out of the world. They were yours, and you have given them to me. And they have kept your word." Interesting phrase. "Now they have known that all things, whatever you have given to me, are from you." And again, literally translated, "from you," alongside of you. "Because the words which you have given to me, I have given to them. And they themselves received them. And they have known truly that I came out from you, and they believed that you sent me. I request concerning them." It's not the word prayer, it's the word request, erotao. "Not concerning the world do I ask, but concerning those whom you have given to me, because they are yours. And all of my things are yours, and all of your things are mine." Literal translation. "And I have been glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world. And these are in the world. And I am coming to you." Holy Father. Only place in the scriptures where this term is found. Holy Father. "Keep them in your name, those whom you have given to me, in order that they may be one according as we are. When I was with them in the world, I was keeping, notice the imperfect tense, continuously, I was keeping them in your name. Those whom you have given to me, I kept. Different word, guarded. And not one of them is lost except the son of perdition, in order that the scripture may be fulfilled. And now I am coming to you. And these things I spoke in the world in order that they might have my joy. Those of you following the Greek text, you see here it's not my in the sense of possessive. It's my own joy. It's the joy that belongs to Christ. Not just that he possesses, but he is the joy. In order that they might have my joy fulfilled, perfect tense showing condition in them. I have given to them your word, and the world hated them, because they are not from out of the world, according as I am not from out of the world. I do not ask in order that you should remove them from the world, but in order that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not from out of the world, according as I am not from out of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word, again, not the word of you, but your word, the word that belongs to you, is truth. According as you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. And on behalf of them, I sanctify myself, in order that these also might be sanctified, present participle showing condition, in truth. Verses 1 through 5, as we said, was Jesus praying for himself. His prayer was that the Father would glorify him in order that the Father might be glorified in the Son. It was always the Lord's ministry and purpose here on the earth to glorify the Father upon the earth. That is, that when you saw Jesus, you would see the Father. Now, please follow this, because today's lesson is very important. Jesus is going from the Father to Jesus. That Jesus would not stand alone or minister from his own self or resources, but that his life would glorify the Father, and that everything that he said and did was the Father. Was not functioning independent, and Jesus was not even functioning to glorify himself. It was to glorify the Father. So now in his prayer for believers, Jesus is leaving. And he's leaving the believers behind because, catch this, we take his place. That is, Jesus would leave the earth, and spiritually come to indwell the believers. So that our life would not glorify ourselves, but the Father and the Son. You see that? See how it's passed down? Please note that the purpose for the way in which God saves people, he doesn't save them religiously. A person is saved by God's Spirit coming in and giving them a spiritual birth and dwelling within them. Not only for salvation, but the purpose is that God would use our life to glorify himself, manifest himself. So please keep that in mind. Because the Christianity that we know in America today basically is presented in such a way so as to say salvation through Jesus Christ is a ticket to heaven. Carry it in your wallet or purse, but you can do whatever you want to do. Just remember this, and this is I'm saying this, presenting it in the false form. The Christianity of today says, remember that you take Jesus with you wherever you go. Well, that's true. But that's not Christianity. Christianity is that he takes us wherever he goes. See, there's a difference. We can make it religious, but in reality, through this prayer, we as believers learn Why has He come to live inside of me? Why does He possess me? Why is my body now the temple of the Holy Spirit and I am not my own anymore? In the same way that Jesus came and He was not His own. Did not speak independently from the Father. In fact, it was the Father's work in Him. And His life glorified the Father. And that's why the cults will not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, that He was all God. He was sent by the Father, they will agree, but the Father being in Him and the Father doing the works, and He and the Father being one, they will not agree with that. So they have rejected the testimony of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, because Jesus didn't come with an independent ministry. He came with the Father's ministry. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We cannot dare to say the words because of the weakness of our flesh, but in essence, we should say to others, if you have seen me, you've seen Jesus. Wow. Not me personally, not the human being, but if you come into presence of my physical human life, you've come into the presence of Jesus who resides within. You won't hear from me, you'll hear from Jesus. You won't see my work, you'll see the work of the Holy Spirit. Now you see why we as believers must pay close attention as to how we live our life. It's not legalism. It's not condemnation, it's a calling. In verse 6, in the beginning of this section, we saw the purpose for the Lord's earthly ministry. Jesus said, I have manifested your name, Father, to the men whom you have given to me from out of the world. He came to manifest. Verse 7, the result of the Lord's earthly ministry. They, the disciples, have come to know that all things whatever you have given to me have come from you. In other words, the disciples and the apostles came to a point where they said, we believe that everything that you have and that you have given to us has not come from you, it has come from the Father. Wow, that's a great revelation. It wasn't just from Jesus, but it was from the Father. Because the words which you have given to me, verse 8, I have given to them. And they themselves received it, number one. Secondly, they have known truly that the origin that I came out from you. I did not come from my own origin. I came from the Father. And thirdly, they believed that you sent me. They believed that Jesus was there on the commission of the Father. The purpose for the Lord's intercessory prayer, verse 9, he says, I ask concerning them, I do not ask concerning the world. There's only one time in Scripture that the Lord prayed for the world, Luke 23:34. He hung on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. The Lord's intercessory prayer is only for his people. He doesn't pray for the non-believer. It's interesting. Before we get to this intercessory prayer, we have to know the purpose that he's asking for, the purpose of those concerning whom the Father has given to him. We see this phrase seven times in this chapter, that we have been given to Jesus by the Father. That we originally belonged to the Father and He gave us to Jesus. It's mentioned seven times in Scripture. The reasons? Three reasons. Because they are yours, Father. And all of my things are yours and all of your things are mine. And I have been glorified in them. Already. It's a condition. The first request we saw last time in verse 11. Jesus said, I am no longer in the world, and these are in the world, and I am coming to you. So he says, Holy Father. Now please notice that phrase for today. The word holy means separate or set apart. The word holy that's also attributed to God, hosios, means purity. The reason why Jesus is using set apart and holy for Holy Father is because he's about ready to pray for sanctification. Sanctification comes off of this word, set apart. Holy Father, sanctified Father. The first request, first of two, he says, keep them in your name, whom you have given to me. The word keep, there's two words for keep or guard. Phulasso has to do with guarding a prison so the prisoner doesn't get out. Tereo has to do with guarding the prison so no one else can get in to help the prisoner escape. So the guard has two purposes. Make sure the prisoner stays in prison and to make sure nobody else gets in to get the prisoner out. He's using tereo. He's saying, Father, keep them. Don't allow any outside influences to take them away. So you and I are being kept today by the Father. We're not keeping ourselves. 1 Peter 5:18 says that the one who has been born of God, God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. It's not dependent upon my works, it's dependent upon the Father keeping me, that is those whom have been given to Jesus' purpose, in order that they might be one. The word one is in the neuter, not one in nature, but one as a unit in purpose. In order that they may be one according to we. That's the second thing I want you to notice. First of all, that he's called Holy Father. Sanctified, set apart Father. And that the Father and Jesus are one, not only in nature and attributes, but also in purpose. We are the other element added to that. Jesus is praying that the Father would keep us, any outside forces, from coming in and taking over the unity that we have with the Father and the Son, that we are set apart for the same purpose. Glorify the Father. Jesus says, I was continually keeping them, Father, continually guarding them to be taken away from me, and I guarded them. Both. Jesus did both. Tereo and phulasso. I guarded them so that they couldn't get away from me, and I guarded them so that no outside force could take them. So now, Father, not one of them has been destroyed. Not one. Jesus will not lose one. Jesus said the same thing in John 6:39. I will not lose one that the Father gives to me. Except the son of perdition. Son of perdition, it literally is a title, son of destruction. It means, because of the word son, it means from the time of birth till the time of death, this person is headed for and will experience destruction. He didn't become a son of destruction at the time of Jesus, but rather he was an evil man. End of John 6 says that he was of the devil, he was demonized, and Jesus knew this when he chose him. But he chose him to be part of the inner group, as the text says here, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. Psalm 41:9 talks about Judas betraying. Psalm 109, verses 4 through 13, tells us about Judas who would betray Jesus. The way it's presented in this text, it shows that it's God's counsel, His all-knowing. It wasn't a surprise. Judas fulfilled Scripture. Jesus said in verse 13, Now I am coming to you, Father, and these things I spoke in the world, in order that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. So we can have joy right now. The word joy is the word satisfaction. He doesn't give it to us. He is our joy. What gives us our joy? The Father's keeping us. In the midst of turbulent times, God is keeping me. I can be satisfied. Rejoice. I have given to them your word, and the world hated them. There's a connection. He's giving us our third connection. Because he's about ready to tell us that sanctification takes place through the word. If I'm in God's word, and if my life is in lined up with God's word, the world is going to hate me. Period. It's a different system. Different attitude, different lifestyle, different everything. Because they are not from out of the world, according as I am not from out of the world. I'm asking all of this. I'm not asking in order that you should remove them from the world, but in order that you might keep them from the evil one. There's the outside force. And we are being kept by the Father. Verse 16, first of all, for today, the basis for salvation, for sanctification. We're going to see the request. We've had one request in verse 11 where Jesus said, "Keep them, Father, in your name." There's two requests. The basis for sanctification. They are not from out of the world according as I am not from out of the world. So I thought I was. But right now, as I stand, it shows origin. That when Jesus saved me, my connection is not still with the world. I mean, originally I came from out of the world. That's where God called me, and that's where he saved me from. But what he's saying is that no longer exists. Now that you have been born of the Spirit of God, your origin is not from out of the world. Just as Jesus is not from out of the world. You see the line up there? That's scary. Because my purpose in this world is the same as the Lord's purpose in this world. How do I make my decisions? How do I get involved? We studied the first hour about the traps of the devil. How is Jesus getting involved? That's how I should get involved. Secondly, verse 17. The command for sanctification. Here's the second request. Sanctify them in your truth. The means of sanctification, your word is truth. The word sanctify means to set apart. Now the Bible says that there are three things, three elements that sanctify us. Number one, and this is called absolute position. In theological terms, there is absolute position and there is progressive position. Example, when I receive Jesus, I am washed and cleansed from all of my sin. Progressively, I come to him to be cleansed of my daily sins. You understand that? One is a cleansing for salvation. The other is a cleansing from the sin and effects of the world on a daily basis. One is absolute position. I am always saved. I am always forgiven for my sins. One is progressive. I continually seek him to be cleansed from sin in my walk. Sanctification in the Bible is the same way. God the Father in Jude verse 1, there's only one chapter, so Jude verse 1 says that God the Father sanctifies us. Secondly, through the sacrifice of the Son, Hebrews 10:10 tells us that through the sacrifice of the Son, we are sanctified through him. Thirdly, that we are sanctified through the Spirit, two places, 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 says the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. Now it's interesting because the word holy in the title Holy Spirit, the word holy means sanctified. Same word used for the Father, Holy Father. So you see, sanctification takes place the moment the Holy Spirit comes in my life. The sanctifying Spirit sanctifies me and sets me apart. That's what sets me apart to belong to God. That is an absolute position. That is to say, that is always true. I am always set apart by God for His purposes. The problem is, I don't always make the choices to walk in my sanctification. Because He says, sanctify them in your truth, and then He tells us the means of sanctification, your word is truth. Oh, that's powerful. You know what it's saying? Sanctification, the setting apart process, the progress in my walk in sanctification is dependent upon being involved with God's Word. God's Word is truth. God's Word is what influences me, that sets me apart in my thinking and in my view in life and in my lifestyle from everyone else. Not my human religious efforts, but the influence and the impact of the Word of God. If I meditate on the Word of God day and night, I'm going to be a different person than the people of the world. You see that? Yeah. Now, do you see the reverse of that? As a Christian, if I choose, if I say, you know, this Christian walk's been pretty limiting to me, so this week or this month I'm just going to go out in the world and enjoy myself. Guess also what I will stay away from automatically. What will it be? The Word. The Word. Right? Because it's different than the world. The Word's going to convict me. I'll be out in the world, and God's Spirit's going to be taking His Word saying, you are not of the world. You're not from out of the world. And if I'm seeking to be changed, if I'm seeking God's will for my life, I'm going to be in His Word because His Word continually changes me and transforms me. But as I go out in the world, how's the world going to treat me then? Jesus has got through saying it. What is it going to be? I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. Remember, the word world stands for system. Satan is the god of this world. He's the prince and power of the air. Wow, what a difference. What a difference spiritually from the system of the world and the Spirit of God and His system that lives inside of me. I mean, we're talking night and day. Right? The Israelites, they were called by God to be separate in everything. And that was according to the law. That wasn't spiritual, that was legalistic. What they could eat, how they dressed, how they worshiped. They even had their own holidays. Totally separate from the world. And that was their testimony. It is false and a deception of Satan to say today that the Christian testimony is to blend in and be just like the people of the world so that we can reach them for Christ. No. That's not God's way. You can be there. We can be in the world, but we can't be of the world. Or as one person once said, and I just love, because you know, boats are my favorite illustrations that I give. They said it's not wrong for the boat to be in the water, but there's something wrong when the water's in the boat. There's nothing wrong with us being in the world. Jesus said, I'm not asking this, Father, that you remove them from the world because they're staying, but I'm leaving, Jesus said. So I got to pray for them because they're left behind and they're taking my place. I'm now going to work through them. So we are now the representations and ambassadors for Jesus Christ in all that we do, in all that we say. Not legalistically, because Paul brings over the sanctification from the Old Testament and applies it to the church, but he applies it spiritually and says, you're sanctified by the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit by the finished work of Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit coming into your life. You are now holy. You are now set apart, sanctified. But then he says in 1 Thessalonians 4:4, he says, learn how to walk and how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. We have to learn. It's progressive. That's why we have such a tough time. You know, I'm trying to enjoy the world. I'm trying to go out in the world. I'm trying to do my own thing. I'm trying to take Jesus with me, you know? Because that in America, that's the Christian life. I get saved and I take Jesus with me. He's kind of like a little lucky rabbit's foot. I take him out into the American way of life and I kind of rub my rabbit's foot to get him to do things for me and make things work out the way I want them to. It has never been God's way to do it that way. Never. And it's because we, more than any country in the world, we have it harder to walk in our sanctification than any country in the world. You see, the Christians in other countries that suffer persecution, that's easy for them to be separate because the world is persecuting them. Hey, Joe, selling apples today. He'd probably throw it at them. He'd probably call the authorities. Here's one. So you think Joe's going to go out in the world? Mm-mm. Do you think he can go to his next door neighbor and say, sit down and have a cup of coffee? Aren't you one of those Christians? Oops. I think I hear my phone ringing. The only people that you can be real with and open up your life to are the other brothers and sisters, praying in secret or fellowship in secret. So persecution brings a natural separation. You see that? Here in America, it's just so easy, you know? I don't see the world hating me too much. Oh, there's some people who are antagonistic towards Christians, but oh well, right? In America, the world system welcomes me. Come on. You know, blend in, compromise. So that our words are ineffective. Because if we had the truth, if we're witnessing to somebody and we tell them, you need Jesus, they look at us, the first thing they think is, but you're just like me. I don't understand that. How do I need Jesus and you don't? I mean, if I receive Jesus, I'm going to become just like me. Doesn't make sense. Your word is truth. We're sanctified in the truth, and God's Word is truth. The more time we spend in God's Word, the more different from the world we will become, because we will be thinking God's thoughts, we will be thinking about God, we're going to be changed and transformed into thinking a whole different system, and as soon as you walk out the door, you're going to be different. But you're going to be faced with compromise. Gee, I can't be a Christian out here. This is totally different. This is foreign. That's God's will for our life. Verse 18, the commission of sanctification. Jesus says, according as you have sent me into the world, I send them. We've taken his place. Jesus came representing the Father. He now saved us to represent the glory of God, Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Verse 19, the cause of sanctification. And Jesus said, on behalf of them, notice the literal translation, on behalf of them, I sanctify myself, Jesus said. Purpose, in order that they themselves also might be in a condition of sanctified in the truth. God the Father keeps me from the evil one. And you have to come to a conclusion. How much power does God the Father have to keep Satan from taking me away from God? That's how much security we have, see? But we're also sanctified from within. God has sent his Spirit. Now Jesus has sanctified himself. That's what establishes my position of sanctification. That position never changes. I'm always saved. I'm always set apart for God, but I'm always miserable. Because I've been told my whole life that Christianity just means you get to experience a better way of life here in America. In the world. Again, this isn't legalism. Believe me, if you stay in God's Word, God's Spirit will change you. Automatically. God's Word is so powerful. I'm not talking about the Bible as a literature book. Or even in some Bible studies. You can't just open up the Bible and teach and have it be the Word of God. It's got to be the demonstration of the Spirit and power. It must be ministered by the Holy Spirit, and it must be the truth, because only the truth sets people free. See? So do you understand the whole picture? Jesus came to represent the Father, and then He left, and He says, Father, I'm leaving, and just as You sent Me, I'm sending them into the world. So, Father, keep them. Father, sanctify them. And to ensure their sanctification, I'm going to sanctify Myself, Jesus said, on their behalf. So that as I live in them, the very position of sanctification is fixed and sure. Absolute. But see, I struggle because I don't understand God's calling. What is this sanctification? What is this setting apart? My whole understanding of what it means to be a witness for Christ is so upside down. It's what's logical religiously. Do good things in the world, become a success in the world, and with your human effort, be a witness for Christ. God's way is to be separate. Not the boat out of the water. Separate. Not to be a monk and go up in the hills and stay away from the world. It is God's will that Jesus leave us here. That's why after we're saved, we're still here. So that He can change me and transform me, and that change in my life will be a testimony for Him. That God's alive. He's real. That's heavy stuff. Sanctification. It's God's purpose. And as we studied the first hour, that sanctification and being set apart is to live in and according to God's order. For my life individually to Christ, my life individually with my wife, for the woman to be a husband, with my children, with my neighbors, that my family would be a church in and of itself to represent Jesus Christ, so that when I come together, all of our families come together, and we are one family in Christ. Several families making up one. But Jesus prayed 5 times. We'll see it when we finish out the chapter starting next week as we study about the Lord's Prayer for us. All of this is for us because He's going to say, not only for them, but for those who will believe. I ask the same thing for them. But He's got some special things to pray for us. Intercessory prayer. So if you want to know what Jesus is praying for right now as He intercedes for us before the Father, He's praying, Father, keep them from being taken away by Satan, and secondly, sanctify them so that they represent us upon the earth. Not in their human efforts, but that the glory of God through the presence and the ministry of God's Spirit would be in their life and through their life. So that we too can say, if you've seen Jesus, if you've seen Me, you've seen Jesus. Not the human, not the perfection, not the sinless part, but spiritually, because He lives in me. The same Jesus, you see. And we can be honest with people and say, yeah, you see the failure of my flesh. That's good news for you. See, because if I'm holier than thou, there's no hope. Because the person will say, I want to get saved, but I know I'm corrupt and I'm rotten. There's no hope there. I can say, well, you know, I'm just as corrupt and rotten as you are. But the good news is that Jesus died for you to pay the penalty for those sins so that He can come and live in your life. But you never hear about the purpose as to why the Lord came into our life and why He has kept us here after we're saved. To represent Him upon the earth. In all that we do. Well, that's so deep. My prayer is that God's Spirit, as we meditate on these things, that God's Spirit would give us understanding and wisdom. That we are sanctified for the purpose of walking in our sanctification. But it's not legalism. It's a relationship between the Lord, us and the Lord, through His Word. And that He changes our thinking processes and our understanding and therefore our function in life because we're changed by God's Spirit through His Word. Then we're His witness. Then we're His testimony. Let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You. We're so thankful that the Lord is interceding for us even at this hour, according to Romans chapter 8. He is interceding for us from the right of the throne of God. We're so thankful that it is Your power and Your ability that keeps us and sanctifies us and not our own works. We're unable to keep ourselves and we're unable to sanctify ourselves. But Your Spirit has sanctified us. And Your Spirit has sanctified us in Your truth. Lord, we pray that by Your Spirit, You would continue to change us and transform us. To make us a person that is different and separate from the philosophy and lifestyle of the world. The world might hate us, but according to Your Word, that's what it's supposed to do. Because it hates You. Help us to be a humble vessel used by Your Spirit to represent Christ. May our lives point people to Christ. May other people receive the Spirit of Christ ministering to them through us. May our lives be effective for Christ and for His glory while we're here. All other purposes, if we fail at that, we have failed at Your purpose and will for our lives. Help us to see that as Satan deceives and distracts so that we cannot grow and be changed and be effective for Christ. We pray that You'd help us to understand these things by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody once said, taking the teaching of Jesus said in Matthew 5, "You are the salt of the earth." If the salt has lost its savor, its effectiveness, then it's good for nothing but to be thrown out. If you have a pen, not a pencil, but a pen, and you write with that pen and it runs out of ink, what good is it for? Nothing. If I am not involved in growing in Christ to the point that His Spirit changes and transforms my life to be effective for Christ, then what good is my purpose for being here? Certainly there is a certain purpose for my children, for my family, for my friends. But to fulfill God's purpose for my life to eventually manifest His presence, His glory in me, then there's a road that I must walk. I must be in His Word constantly, allowing His Spirit to change who I am as a person in my approach to this earthly life and how I live my personal life. So that not the works will be a testimony, but the presence of God's Spirit would be a testimony.